Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter, and welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, and we are scripturalists. We go by the Word of God because Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, that's New Testament doctrine. Question, do you believe it? Question, do you believe it applies to you or to someone else? Question, why do we have so much trouble today if we are supposed to be a God-fearing nation? You know, there's even a movement out that Glenn Beck started, which is called the 9-12ers. And 9-12ers are based on this. Remember what happened 9-11? And how on 9-12 we all came together. And like President Bush said, go to your churches, go to your synagogues, go to your temples. So they went. And in about 2 weeks, poof, no more. See, because people did not see God's hand in what has been happening to the United States of America for decades. And it's like every evil that comes along, if it's over there and doesn't affect you, you don't think about it, or you get used to it, and you begin to accept degrees of evil. But God said, as we saw in the last segment, that if you love Him and keep His commandments, He will bless you. And Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. You see, the thing is this. The Bible is one book, and with seven divisions in it to tell you what God is doing. Now, God deals with every individual in the world because He made it and created every one of them. And He deals with nations. And He deals with the nations that He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that their descendants would inherit the finest places on earth and become the greatest nations on earth and would have the Word of God. And that's what Moses said here in Deuteronomy 30, as we have been reading. Now, everyone wants the blessings. Everyone wants to go their own way, choose their own thing, because God has set before us choices. Yes, we need to choose. That's correct. But you see, most people have an idea in their mind. They think what is right, but they never confer with the Word of God to try and understand what really is right. And so, going by their own opinions and their own belief, because, you know, opinion is sacred today. If you have an opinion, oh, how erudite you are. Even if it's a downright blasphemous lie. Oh, that's interesting. I saw a special on National Geographic about hemp and marijuana smoking around the world and how, long and short of it is, it blows your mind. But in India, they have sanctified it. Oh, yes. There are those who say they worship God by smoking marijuana. And they are the derelicts who don't even work. But they're righteous. They're doing this for God. Now, here in California, oh, the tax money we could get if we could legalize marijuana. Ooh, just think we could balance the budget. Having nothing to say how many more accidents would happen because of impaired drivers high on marijuana. And it's 10 times more potent in causing cancer and in destroying brain cells than smoking cigarettes. Did you know that? Oh, don't bring that up! Because it's cool to smoke marijuana. No, it's not. But this just shows there is a way that seems right to a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death, and that is individually, and that is collectively, that is for a group, that is for a state, that is for a nation, that is for every people around the world. Now, God has given us His Word so we can judge our lives by His Word. And having been custodians of the Word of God and preaching the truth of the Word of God, that should have been done. But hasn't been done. They've been partial in it. They have neglected it. They stand in the pulpit and say, Jesus did away with the law. That's like saying, hey, everybody, we're floating around the room here because there's no longer the law of gravity. Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever heard that in church? If you have, you know what you listen to? An insane statement. Spoken with pious righteousness, and everybody says, oh, yes, we don't want that harsh old law. Well, let's see what God says about the law. Give us your blessings, God, but don't ask us to obey. Let's read what God says. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 17. If your heart turn away so that you will not hear, are you upset and listening to what I have to say? Are you kind of hostile and sort of gritting your teeth because I'm telling you things that you don't want to hear? Now, if I'm teaching you the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, and it's His Word, who are you rejecting, me or God? Doesn't make me God. But if I read the Word of God and you hear it, you are liable. You are responsible. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, and shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Oh, let's be broad-minded. Let's accept all religions. Isn't that wonderful? Uh-oh. They can't handle Islam, can they? Because if you let that run wild, you're going to be under the yoke of Sharia law. And Western civilization is being cursed because of leaving God and leaving His Word, and the hand of the curse is in what is called radical jihadist Islamist. Oh, don't say that. That's not politically correct. The administration won't approve of that. Well, God has sent them as correction. Why? Because of our sins, individually and collectively. Let's read on. Verse 18. I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you pass over Jordan to possess it or cross the Atlantic to receive it. What was the first thing that the pilgrims did when they finally got there after being chased out of England over to Holland, and they got on the little Mayflower ship and other little ships like that and risked their lives to come all the way over here to America? And they finally got on shore. What did they do? They got off the little ship and they got up on the shore and they all got on their knees and thanked God for deliverance. Oh, they must be religious fanatics. No, they're not. They understood who God is. They understood that He brought them there. And though they had to go through, you might say, the valley of death through the Atlantic to get here, God brought them here. And they understood that. And now we possess the land. And look what we're doing to it. And look what is happening to it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about some things that are going to be very unpleasant. So I want to forewarn you before we do. Because everyone wants to hear all the good things. Oh, yes, let's have love in our hearts. And let's all get along. And let's all accept each other. But where is God in that conversation? You can't have it both ways. You can't live in sin, which is the transgression of the commandments and laws of God, and expect the blessings of God. He tells you right here. How sure is this that I'm talking about? Am I just some nutty preacher out here spouting off my ideas and reading selective scriptures to put fear in your heart? Why am I doing this? Because God commands me to. Because of the terrible things that are coming, you need to know why. And you need to know how you can make your life right with God this nation is not going to change, and the religions are not going to change, and the Sunday keepers are not going to change. They will defy God. And try and do it politically and religiously. You know, there are other church at home organizations too. And a lot of them say, oh, well, let's all sit around, we'll open the Bible, and you read a verse, and you tell me what you think about it. I wonder if they're going to read something like this. Verse 19, I, God, call heaven and earth, which he created. Now, God uses heaven and earth many, many times. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, we'll read a little later. Jesus said that not one jot or tittle in the law shall pass away until heaven and earth pass away. Now, is the earth a sufficient witness for you? Are the heavens a sufficient witness for you that God created them and stretched them out, called everything by name, knows all the stars by numbers, counts all the nations of the earth as drops in the bucket? The reason God is remote and way off is because he is. You're not close to him. You haven't repented. You haven't examined your life according to the laws and commandments of God. You haven't rend your heart to God. Oh, you get sorry when you're caught, but there is no deep repentance that is lasting. So God says, you step outside, you see the earth, you look up and you see the sky and you see everything that there is. And that is my witness to you that my word is true and it's going to happen. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death. You must choose. I must choose. We, whatever our size of community or organization is, we must choose. God has determined what is right and wrong, good and evil. Our opinions do not count. If we go by our opinions, we're going to end up sinning, and that's exactly where we got to the position that we are, because we have gone by opinions and have such made the wrong choice. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. There are curses. And you want to know what's happening to this nation today? We are being cursed by God directly. Because God made and created his laws that operate automatically, just like the law of gravity. If you sin, a curse comes. If you love God and obey him, blessings come. What do you want? You want the blessings? Then you got to do something to God. You have to forsake your way and walk in his way. Oh, but I want my way. I think this, I think that, I think the other thing. God says, all right. When the curses come, don't complain to me. When the things that you have greatly feared come upon you, don't cry out and say, oh, God, why are you doing this? Because he's going to say, I've warned you. Have you had a Bible in your house? Yeah, but I never read it. That's your problem. What does God want you to do? He says, therefore, choose life so that both you and your seed may live. God loves you. Everyone wants the love of God, but they don't want the obedience. Everyone wants eternal life, but they don't want to go it the way that God said you shall receive it. They want to live in their sins, yet kind of confess their sins a little bit, but still live in them. What are your choices? How is your life? How does it square up with the Word of God? Here's the reason God wants you to choose life. He wants you to receive his love, but he wants you to love him in return. See, everyone wants the blessing and love of God, but they aren't willing to love God in return and to serve and love him and keep his commandments. Oh, well, that's Old Testament doctrine. No, that is real life doctrine from the beginning. That you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice. What do we have? We've got recorded for us the voice of God, right? God has already come down and spoken and recorded. So you have to dig in and find it. And may cleave to him. Do you cleave to God? Cleave to his ways? Love his laws? Love his commandments? Love his statutes? Do you believe that God's way is true? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you really? And do you act upon it? Or do you want religion for convenience? Continuing, for he is your life. Think about that for a minute. I've said this many times, so I'm going to say it again here. Have you taken the belly button test lately? You know, just reach down. Where's your belly button? Oh, there it is. Now, why would you have me do that? Because your belly button tells you you came from your father and your mother, and you are not your own, and that you came from God, that God created you, and you ought to be thankful that your mother didn't abort you like so many do today. And you have life because God gives you every breath. For he is your life, as Paul wrote, in God we live and move and have our being. You like breathing? God gives you every breath. You like eating? God created food. You like learning? God gave you a language. Now, question. Do you want to start loving God and learning of his way? Or do you want to continue in the way that you're going to go? When I'm going to read some of the things, it'll be very hard for people to accept. But it's going to come. Matter of fact, it's about 40% here already. What does the other 60% have? Just figure each 10% more of the 60% is going to be double of what each 10% of the 40 brought. Let's read it here. For he is your life and length of days. How many youth are cut off because they dishonor their father and mother, blast their minds with the ways of this world, and are narcissistic, set out on doing their own thing, hate their fathers, hate their mothers, but God gave them life through their mothers and fathers. So that you may dwell in the land. Now let's keep that in mind, because God says if you don't do right, you're not going to dwell in the land, and all we need to do is look at everything concerning Israel and Judah in the Bible. Did God warn them of their sins? Yes. Did they repent of their sins? No. Did God send them off into captivity? Yes. The northern 10 tribes of Israel in 721 to 718 BC. Taken out of their land because they refused to obey God. Now the modern descendants of them live in the land here. And in Britain and Australia, northwestern Europe, and look at South Africa. You want to know your future? Get a good look at South Africa, because that's your future. It's coming. Just as sure as the earth is rotating on its axis and there is day and night, it is coming. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them, and we are the descendants who inherited it. Are you thankful to God for it? Do you praise God for the life that you have? Do you realize that in everything in your life you have nothing that you didn't receive? And there is nothing in the physical realm that God did not create the things to make the things that we have today. Do you understand that? And God gave you the greatest thing that you have, life and a mind. And what are you doing with your mind? And what are you putting in your mind? See? How do you respond to God? All right. Let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter, and let's see where it actually came about. And then we'll look at the reasons why. And then we will see what God says he's going to do. And when we read that, I want you to understand and look and see and ask the question, are these things happening today? And if they are happening today that are true according to the word of God, then God is doing it. He is not allowing it. He is causing it. Because you caused it to happen by rejecting him, by rejecting his word. And we are going to see that the ministers in the pulpit are the ones who are responsible, and God's judgment is upon them. That's why Christianity is imploding, and the only safe way that you're going to find God is in your home. Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 2. Notice what he says. Just right where we left off there in Deuteronomy 30, right? Yes. Here, this is now about 700 years later. The word of God is still there. The word of God is still effective. The heavens and the earth are still here, right? Yes. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. Have you rebelled against God? Have you rejected his commandments? Have you believed that the law is done away? Have you believed that the old law was a curse? Well, if you have, you're blaspheming God. And the heaven and earth is a witness against you. Now, God uses a simple analogy here. Verse 3. The ox knows his owner and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Do you understand? Does all of this sound strange and foreign to you? And who is this mad raving minister? Why don't people understand? Because when they live in sin, they cannot focus on goodness and righteousness. Yet they want every blessing that should come because of obedience, and yet to live in their sin. So God says, ah, sinful nation of people burdened with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. Have you forsaken God? Have you left God? When was the last time that you got down on your knees before God in a quiet, private place and poured out your heart to him, ask him for help and understanding, ask him for forgiveness of sin, ask him for wisdom and knowledge to know what to do, then pick up the word of God and start reading it? When was the last time you wanted to get your life squared around and you started your prayer by reading the Psalms? Oh, Lord, hear, help. Oh, God, be with me. Lift me up. Probably never. Don't you think it's about time? They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backwards. Have you provoked God to anger? Has this nation provoked God to anger? Do we have so many problems here that they're insoluble? And yet we don't turn to God. Oh, some people do a little bit. But have they come to God with all their heart, all their mind, with all their soul, in deep repentance, asking to have their sins forgiven through the sacrifice and shed blood of Jesus Christ, and then to honor God and obey him? You don't get forgiveness without obedience. That's carnal remorse. You're just caught and trapped, and you're in a mess, and you don't know what to do. Oh, God, help me. So God helps you, and immediately you forget about him and go your own way, right? So you see, the collective sins and actions and choices of the people have caused these things to come. And God's judgment is just like the waves of the ocean. They keep coming, and they keep coming. And unless there's repentance, they get higher and bigger and deeper. And they know this, that in the ocean, every once in a while, there's what they call a rogue wave. Waves will come along 6, 8, 10 feet, and then all of a sudden, here comes a wave of 100 feet, and just, boom, sinks the ships to the bottom. Well, that's a good analogy of what's going to happen with us. We've had wave after wave after wave, and warning after warning after warning, and the rogue wave correction is going to come like a tsunami. And boom! This nation will not know what has hit it. They won't know why it has come. But you will. Will you hear the word of God? Will you turn to God in repentance? Will you open up your Bible and study it and read it and live by it? That's the choice that's before us right now. And if we don't make that choice individually and collectively, then the hand of God's correction will only get stronger and heavier. So once again, even though with the topic I'm talking about, thank you for inviting me into your home, and continue to listen, because I'm going to do many segments on this until we understand what is really happening and what we really, really need to do. So this is Fred Calder. Till next time, saying so long, everyone.